Couple disclaimers this morning.
Julie did not get the bulletin wrong. Julie is very efficient as usual. Les was supposed to preach today, but he called me Friday evening about, must have been 6, 7 o'clock. Called me and asked me if I could preach for him today because he had some things to do with the grandkids and that type of stuff, so you guys got stuck with me. Yay. You might not be yaying after we're done. We'll see how it works. But anyway, so I wasn't really preparing too much for, you always try to look at things and to preach. And Jenny's devotion went perfect with what we got to talk about today. Changing your lens, you know what I mean? And then when I seen her, when she did that, and the Lord says, you need to bring up a couple more scriptures. And I said, okay. So, nice thing about that is, when you've been studying, looking at the Word, you will, verses of scripture will come to your mind, and the Lord will bring them to you. This week I saw a sign on a church driving by. It says, I want to be like Paul on the road to de-mask us. That was pretty good. That was pretty cool. Play on words. I never thought of that. That's pretty cool. Yeah, it's kind of neat driving around. You get to see a lot of things. But let's go to the Lord in prayer and let's just see where He's going to lead us this morning, okay? Father, we humbly come before Your presence this morning. We have invited You into our midst, Father. We have invited You, the very power of God, to be here. We want You to be here. We need You to be here, Father. We can do nothing without You. I cannot lead, Father. I cannot preach without You. Father, I just ask a special blessing upon us this morning, Father, that the words that are spoken will be said and will be applied to our lives. Father, we just love You. Father, we just praise You and thank You. In Your precious name we pray. Amen. Yeah, change your focus. That's pretty cool. We kind of talked about that a little bit in Sunday school. A little plug for Sunday school if you guys don't come to Sunday school. It's a pretty cool time. You know what I'm saying? Nice to see Lindsay back. Did you blow anything up, Lindsay? Lindsay blows stuff up now. She is actually trained to blow stuff up. Isn't that cool? That's a neat job, isn't it? I like to blow some stuff up, huh? I'm jealous. Jealous. A lot of things I work on I like to blow up. Praise the Lord. But change our focus. That's not a good thing. We don't want to blow stuff up. Be careful. We change our focus. And this week I was thinking about, been on my mind a lot lately, I guess. I don't know why, but the ability to be able to speak your faith. The ability for you and me to talk to people about our faith. Do you feel uncomfortable with that? A little bit, yeah. I think we all do. I think I told you before, the Barna Group says that 92% of people do not share their faith. 92%. The other 8% must be out there getting it, I guess. You know what I'm saying? 92% of us don't. So, we're going to be in John chapter 4. I want to look at something here. But I want to read you something. It's in Micah chapter 7. And I'm just going to read this. It says, verse 16, it says, the nations shall see God's deliverance and be ashamed of all their might, which cannot be compared to His. They shall lay their hands upon their mouths in consternation. Their ears shall be deaf. They shall lick the dust like a serpent. Like crawling things of the earth, they shall come trembling out of their strongholds and closed places. They shall turn and come with fear and dread to the Lord our God, and shall be afraid and stand in awe because of You, O Lord. Who is a God like You who forgives iniquities and passes over the transgressions of the remnant of His heritage? He retains not His anger forever because He delights in mercy and loving kindness. Listen to this. He will again have compassion on us. He will subdue and tread underfoot our iniquities. He will subdue and tread underfoot our iniquities. You shall cast our sins into the depths of the sea. You know why most people don't share their faith? You don't know what I did. Huh? I seen a guy one time who says, thanks God for not giving me a drug addiction. I don't have a very good witness, Thanks God. Really? Huh? You're exactly where you are and who you are. And God says, you know what? If you ask forgiveness of your sins, I will cast them into the depths of the sea. And you know what else? He puts a no fishing sign there. Huh? He puts a no fishing sign there. Isn't that cool? He takes your sins, he treads them underfoot. God can't forget, right? He's God. He chooses to forget your sins. Isn't that something? He chooses to. Because he loves you. So, when someone says, I can't talk to people, I'm pretty bad. Guess who? You guys didn't know me 30 years ago. You didn't know who I was 30 years ago. You did not know me. I was not the guy I am today. I knew the Lord. You couldn't make me do anything I didn't want to do. God couldn't make me do anything I didn't want to do. But you know what he did? He beat me around pretty good, worked me over pretty good, had situations come in my life where I had to step up and do some things. And you know what? Here I am today. Not very good at it. Here I am today. And I tell you, when God can use me, he can use you. And I expect him to. I pray that. I expect you guys to be used by God for something. You are here for a purpose. We talked about that this morning in Sunday school. You are here for a purpose. God has something for you to do that only you can do. What it is? He's going to get rid of your sins. He's not going to remember them anymore. So why do I need to remember them? I don't. So it got me to thinking. I was looking at this. So let's go to John chapter 4. Let's take a look at some stuff here. John chapter 4, your Bible verse title is The Samaritan Woman. Say that on there. Probably. Maybe as a header. There's a lot of information in the first few parts of this chapter. There's so much stuff here, you're never going to cover it in two or three hours. We're never going to get through it in a couple hours. Is that okay? That's a no. Okay. We got birthday parties to go to, right, Jennifer? Amen. Praise the Lord. John chapter 4 says, now when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had been told that Jesus was winning and baptizing more than his disciples, though Jesus himself did not baptize but his disciples, he left Judea and returned to Galilee. A lot of information here. Listen to this. It was necessary for him to go through Samaria. All right. A couple of disclaimers here. The Jews hated the Samaritans. Okay? It's like, I was trying to think of how this would be related. It's like I guess if you want to look at it, it's like the people that hate the United States. You know what I mean? We've been, you know, 9/11, you know what I'm saying? These people hated us so much that they killed themselves to hurt us. That was the same thing. The Jews and the Samaritans, they hated one another. You did not go through Samaria if you were a Jew, okay? You went around Samaria. You took 3 more days to get to where you had to go. You did not go through Samaria. So right off the bat, we're saying, now why is he going to do that? Because it says it was necessary. Now think about this. We see the big picture, the overview. There's people in Samaria that have never heard of Jesus. They never heard of Christianity, right? It's coming. There's nobody, no Jew that I could see would be able to go in there and say, hey, listen, I got something to tell you guys. They're not going to listen, are they? But Jesus, because he was the Son of God, it was necessary for him to go to Samaria. Because Jews and Samaritans didn't like one another, they hated one another, it was unlawful in the Talmud, and by Jewish law, for a rabbi, which Jesus was considered a rabbi, to talk to a Samaritan. It was unlawful at that time. Check this out. At that time, it was unlawful for a rabbi to talk to a woman in public, even his wife, his sister. Unlawful. He would be ceremonially unclean. How stupid is that? What were they missing? I have had so much intelligent input from the women of this church. I really have. And I really enjoy your input. I like talking to you because I learn things. I'm kind of simple, you know what I mean? And I learn things. You guys have a look at it, and I'm thinking, look at all that they missed. Sidebar. Anyway, so they weren't allowed to talk to him, and especially if it was a Samaritan woman. Oh my, he'd be like excommunicated, huh? Wouldn't be allowed to go to that church no more, huh? Okay, let's keep going here. So, and in doing so, he arrived at a Samaritan town called Sychar. And I thought, this is interesting. I seen a little note on this. Sychar? It means terrible. A town of drunkenness. That's what the Greek word means. They had a town called town. This is a town of drunkenness. Really? So Jesus goes to this town. Remember that lens that Jenny was talking about? Some places in town you don't go because that's a bad part of town. He goes right to the place, the city called the town of drunkenness, near the tract of land that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there. If you go back and look at Jacob's well, it started all the way back in Genesis. This is Jacob's well. This well has been here for like 1,800 years. And you know what? The well is still there today. I saw a missionary that took a hike and found this well. They had said, it's the well. He took a drink. He said it was the sweetest water he ever had. He was thirsty from walking too. But he said it was beautiful. So that well is still there today. Isn't that something? Yeah. Still giving life-giving water. So, okay. And Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, tired as he was from his journey, he hadn't taken the SUV or the four-wheeler or the, you know, the razor. He hadn't been riding in anything. He's out there walking, okay? Tired from his journey, he sits down with his well. He's going to take a break. It was about the sixth hour, noon. Nobody in their right mind goes and gets water in a desert climate at noon. You're talking about the hottest part of the day. You go get your water at night. You get the water out of the well. It's still cool. You keep it at home. It's cool. You didn't have refrigerators back then, right? I mean, so you didn't have any way to keep it cold. So you went at night, evening. You got your cold water. It was still cool in the morning. You could drink some of it. It warmed up during the day, obviously, but that was when you got water, right? So he's there at noon, hot, all day hot. Presently, when a woman of Samaria came along to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." Now, two things we got to notice about this. This woman should not have been there at noon. The woman went out in the evening and got water. And the neat thing about the woman going out in the evening and got water, for the guys, they would go and watch and see, which one I want to marry. I like her. You know what I mean? That's what they did. That's how it worked. Okay? So, she's there at noon by herself. Right away we know something's wrong, right? She's probably some kind of an outcast, right? Something going on here. And Jesus, who is not supposed to talk to a Samaritan, and especially a woman, says, "Give me some water." He's looking through a different lens, isn't he? Jesus is looking through a different lens. Okay. Verse 8 says, "For his disciples had gone off to town to buy food." He sent his disciples. I don't know where he sent them, but they said, "Hey, we're hungry. We're going to get something to eat." So they go get food. So they're not there. He's there by himself. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan, a woman, for a drink? For the Jews have nothing to do with the Samaritans." This woman's like, "Dude, you're not supposed to talk to me at all. I mean, we hate one another. And I'm a woman. You ain't supposed to talk to me. What's this all about?" Jesus said, "If you had only known and had recognized God's gift and who this is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him instead, and he would have given you living water." Something about this verse hit me. It says, Jesus gives her three things. He said, "If you had only known and recognized the gift." Jesus is going to talk to this woman about salvation by talking about water. He uses something that she needs, something you have to have in the desert. Heard a story once. This is a true story. There is a well in the desert somewhere, and when you get to the well, it's a deep well, so you got a hand pump, okay? And beside the well, there's a note. It says, "This well is full, has plenty of water in it. You can water your animals, whatever you need for water. But first, there's a gallon of water sitting there. You got the water, it's there, you can drink it, okay? But you have to take that gallon of water and dump down the well to prime it." prime the pump. And once you prime it, you can pump, 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 get all the water you need. But you have to have faith to dump that water down the well. And it says when you're done, make sure you fill that up again for the next person that comes. You've got to prime that well. Okay? So, Jesus is going to prime the well here. He says, you got to know about this free gift, salvation. And you got to know who gives you the free gift. And then you got to ask for this forgiveness to get this living water. Okay. Verse 11. She said to him, sir, you ain't got nothing to draw with. And the well is deep. How can you provide living water? Where do you get your water from? Where do you get your water from? And she goes on, are you greater than and superior to our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well and who used to drink from it himself and his sons and his cattle also? She said, are you greater? This is a question is supposed to get a negative response. You ever ask a question that's supposed to get a negative response? Huh? Don't ask me, do I look fat? What's the result? I mean, come on. I'm setting you up. You're setting me up, ain't you? Right? Do I look fat? Yeah, you look fat. Yeah, okay. She's asking the question she's expecting. Are you greater than our father Jacob? Who drank here in his cattle 1,800 years ago? Jesus said, verse 13, all who drink this water, they're going to be thirsty again. But whoever takes a drink of water that I will give him shall never be thirsty anymore. But the water that I will give him shall become a spring of water welling up, flowing, bubbling continually within him unto eternal life. He's talking about salvation. And these words here are kind of interesting. He says, the person that drinks this water, they're going to have this well. This is a continual well. The Holy Spirit's inside you. It's a well. He's a well of strength. He's a well of power. He's a well of knowledge. He's a well of everything you need. The power you need. Talked about that in Sunday school. God don't give you the grace for tomorrow today. God don't give you the strength for tomorrow today. God don't give you the help for tomorrow today. God gives you tomorrow what you need for tomorrow. Becky said if he gave you all the strength today, you should use it all up. And that's true. God is only going to give you what you need for today. So, when you look at this, he's saying, you know what? This spring of water welling up. And this Greek word for welling up is the same term used when a lame man leaps to his feet being healed. Huh? You guys feel energetic this morning? Nobody feels it. Wow! I had a great week this week, Jenny. It was great! Huh? I got 3 hours of sleep in one night. It was great! I loved it! And then they get a phone call. You preach Sunday? Sure. I can do that. Praise the Lord. Huh? But that's not me. See? That's Him. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. I really believe the person of the Holy Spirit. You understand, the Holy Spirit is just not something out there. It's not out there. It's not something out there. It's not something that comes to point. When you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to indwell you. He is a person. You need to treat Him as a person. You can hurt Him. You can grieve Him. You can quench Him. And He is He's like Tim. He's the perfect gentleman. He's like Tim. He's the perfect. I mean, He will not do anything to run you over. I mean, if you say, nah, I'm not going to do that, He's not going to run you over. He's the perfect gentleman. Jesus says, this thing is going to become such a powerful thing inside you, you're just going to just, yes! Huh? And the woman said, sir, give me this water so that I may never get thirsty again and I don't have to come here anymore. She's looking at her earthly convenience, earthly. She goes, give me this water. I don't never get thirsty. I'd never come back to this well again. Never have to mess with it. Could have been the end of the conversation. Jesus is who He is. He says, go call your husband and come back. Go call your husband and come back. Just go call him. We'll come back. What'd she say? Woman answered, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, "You've spoken true. You have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and man you're now with is not your husband." And thus you spoke truly. Wow. I thought of Barb when I seen this. How many times did you get married, Barb? What do you think? Huh? Oh, gosh. So, see, this woman is, all right away we see she's an outcast, isn't she? Yeah, she's an outcast. That's why she's there at noon. Did that bother Jesus? No. I think that's a good statement to you and I. You see a lot of people out and about. And you look at some people and you think, boy, yeah, you know what I mean? Huh? You know what I'm saying? Boy. You know what I mean? But Jesus doesn't look at the outward appearance. He looks at the heart. And this woman, Jesus is going to use, he's going to use her to bring the Samaritan people to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. All by herself. Isn't that something? Let's read on. Woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you're a prophet. You got like a crystal ball thing going on here." She says, so she, and this question is kind of interesting to me. This woman is engaged. I think it's interesting to note, when you talk to people, pretty much right away you can tell if they're going to be talking to you about Christianity or Jesus or anything like that. You can pretty much tell because she's still engaged. She could have said, "Well, food on you, I'm out of here." You know what I mean? Get your own water. Huh? You know what I mean? Barb would never do that. She was a very hospitable person. She would never do that, would you, Barb? But see, I'm just bringing up. But see, she's still engaged. She's still talking. Still talking to him. So her say says, she's going to ask him a question. She thinks, well, this guy's a prophet. Maybe he knows something. She says, "Our forefathers worked on the mountain. But you Jews, you say that Jerusalem is a place where it's necessary and proper to worship." So she's asking questions. Now, you Jews say it's there. We say it's here. Because the Samaritans had their own temple. Samaritans had their own priesthood. They had their own stuff. Totally separate of the Jews. Totally separate. You guys say worship there. We say worship. Who's right? She's asking a legitimate question, right? Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me." And this, listen, woman, you ever hear that? That make you feel really good? Like you really, 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 there's a lot of feelings there. Not good ones, right? This is not the way he said this. This is a term of, like, sister. Sister. Listen, sister. Believe me, time is coming when you will worship the Father, neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem. Verse 22, "You Samaritans do not know what you are worshiping. We do, the Jews do know what we are worshiping. We worship what we have knowledge of and understand. For after all, salvation comes from the Jews." And it is. "A time will come, however, indeed is already here, when the true, genuine worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking just such people as these to, as his worshipers." Jesus is saying, there's not a place to worship. We worship here in church, right? You guys worship through the week? Any? You ever find yourself singing? How great the Lord, how great... I wish that boat was in. How great the Lord. Huh? You ever do that? Huh? Huh? You're worshiping. God says, Jesus is telling, he says, there's not really a place you have to worship. It's a true worship. It's of the what? The heart. Jesus looks at the heart. God looks at the heart. He says, "I want you to worship me in truth. I don't want you to come to church, yeah, 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 and then go home and you will do such a word." He wants your heart. We talked about it in Sunday school too. He wants all of you. And we talked about tithe, you know, 10%, yada yada. Jesus, God wants all of you. He needs all of you to do his work. You are his hands and feet. Maybe it's just a word you say to somebody in the store. Maybe it's something you do. I don't know. Maybe he wants all of you. He wants you to be totally committed, engaged, praising his name every day of the week. Even when you don't get any sleep. Huh? Even when you have to do something that hurts. My brother has a little red dog. Just a little red heeler, just a cute little thing. She's a good cattle dog, kills everything in sight. Groundhogs, raccoon, whatever, she kills everything in sight. She got sick a couple weeks ago and he had to put her down because she got Lyme disease. And she had all these shots and she had the tick stuff and all, she got Lyme disease. She had to put her down, so it was really hard. But when my dad's funeral, that dog, we had 450 people come to the service, and that dog barks at everything. She's a barker. She laid at that casket and never said a word. So we buried her on top of my dad's grave. That was a good place to put her. But it's like, it hurt, right? It hurt. She's just a part of the family, right? It hurt. You know what? God still wants all of me. He still wants me to realize that that was a plan that he had for whatever reason. I don't know. It was a plan. And I cannot second guess him. Like my brother passing away. I can't second guess him. It was time. It was his time. So, if I'm going to be all in, am I going to jump back out when things get hard? Wow. Am I going to turn away from him when things get hard? Am I going to say, why? Why? Huh? I think we're all going to ask that question when we get to heaven, why, right? I don't think so. A very wise woman one time told me, I don't think we'll be asking why. I think we're going to just be praising him, being his presence. Isn't that something? We're going to see all those we knew before, that went before. We're going to be praising him. We're going to have a good time. Huh? It's going to be a good time. You think it's party time now? It's real party time there. Huh? It goes on forever. It never stops. Huh? So if things get hard, yeah, there's days I take it hard. But then there's other times that, you know what? God's given me strength to do it, right? Yeah, amen. Let's keep going here. Let's keep going here. Verse 24 says, God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Is your spirit worshiping and praising God even when you're going through a hard time? Yeah. It's hard. It's hard sometimes. Sometimes when things come against me, I get in my Bible and I start reading and looking at stuff, and you know, after a while I don't forget what's going on. I'm just praising him and being in his presence. Huh? I'm actually in his presence when I'm looking at his word. And then I have his presence indwelling me, his power, his strength, his energy, his peace, his joy. I can't be stupid. You got to sleep, right? I can't be stupid. But things happen. The Lord gives you a lot of strength. He gives me a lot of peace. I can go lay down in bed, I'm out. When that alarm goes off, I'm up. Huh? That's what it is. And I think the Lord gives me, when I see things like that happen, I get up and I go through the day, it's like he gives me the strength to do it. I have to rely on him for it. God's Spirit. Here we go in verse 25. And the woman says to him, I know. Now they know some stuff. Look at this. I know the Messiah is coming. He who is called the Christ. When he arrives, he will tell us everything we need to know. And he'll make it clear to us. He's going to tell us all the stuff. What's Jesus say to her? I who now speak with you am he. There are no, what do they call it? Precedents? Predicates? There's no predicates in Greek. There's no he in Greek. It's a I am. Where have you heard that before? Huh? All the way back in Genesis. All the way through the Bible says, I am. The great I am, the great I am. I am. Jesus tells this woman, I am. I'm the one you've been waiting on. Then what happens? His disciples come. And they're astonished. Think about this. They know the law. Jesus is not supposed to be talking to a woman. And then he's not supposed to be talking to a Samaritan woman. He ain't supposed to be having no talking to her whatsoever. And his disciples come back like, dude, what are you doing? They find him talking with a woman. However, not one of them ask him. This is Jesus. It'd be hard to ask him questions. What do you think? Because he knows what you're thinking. He knows. I mean, it'd be hard. I wouldn't even want to ask that question. Because it's probably going to turn around and bite you really bad, right? He says, what are you talking to her about? What are you speaking to her? And this woman left her water. Now listen, this woman came for water, right? She's probably thirsty, right? She leaves her water jar and she goes to town And she begins telling all the people, listen, listen, come see the man who's told me everything I ever did. She asks a question. Now, this has got to remember in this. She couldn't just say, I think he's the Messiah. No, she had to ask a question. Can this be the Christ? Maybe, can it be? The Anointed One? So the people left the town and set out to go to him. This woman goes back to town, starts telling people, dude, you think when the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon her, you think she had the energy to go back to town and say, listen guys, I found this guy. I think it might be. Huh? So all these other people come out to see Jesus. In verse 31, I guess this is what I want to get to here. It says, the disciples urged him, saying, you need to eat something. Hey, bud, you need to eat. You haven't eaten today. He says, verse 32, but he assured them, I have food to eat, which you know nothing of. You ain't got any idea what I got food I got to eat. And the disciples said one another, someone brought him something to eat? No. Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me, and to accomplish and completely finish his work. Now, you guys are getting hungry probably, ain't you? If I started talking about, you know, steak or like hamburger, you know, cheeseburger, really good. I mean, with fries. I mean, I'm just, maybe a milkshake. Food, you know what I'm saying? I mean, maybe you don't like steak and hamburgers and milkshakes. I don't know. Maybe you're more of the person that likes, like, chocolate cake, you know, with big icing all over it, or ice cream on top of it. Jesus is saying to these guys, my food, my nourishment comes from doing his will. And when I thought about that, I thought, wow. When I'm hungry, I like to eat. I don't know about you. My body needs food, right? He tells me, he says, my nourishment comes from something else, from doing the Father's will. And he goes through a little thing here, and I just want to go through this because I want you to understand that you, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, need to talk to people about your faith. You have something that they need. You have a strength, you have a power, you have a peace, you have a joy. You have something that they need so desperately. You have eternal salvation. And there's nothing else more important in my life than that. Because you think about it, this life is very fleeting, it's very quick, it's very fast. I mean, we don't know when our day is done. We are all born with an expiration date. We don't know when that day is. But you need to share your faith with someone else because you don't know. You don't know what's coming. Well, none of us do. Maybe we won't be able to talk tomorrow. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? You guys are probably like that. Barbara would be, yay. You know. But I'm just saying. So, I guess the point I'm trying to make is here, you got a job to do. Don't just sit back in the pews and think, I'm good. I can't preach you clean. Jesus does that. What he says here. Let's see what he says here. Do you not say it's still 4 months until harvest comes? Look, I tell you, raise your eyes and observe the fields and see how already white for harvest. Jesus is saying, look at these people. Look at these people coming. Huh? Look at these people. He says, already the reapers are getting their wages. He who does the cutting is now has his reward. For he is gathering fruit unto life eternal, so that he who does the planting and he who does the reaping may rejoice together. For in this is the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap a crop for which you have not toiled. Other men have toiled and you have stepped in to reap the results of their work. That's a situation you don't know. When you talk to somebody, maybe you're the first person to dig up the ground. Maybe you're the person to plant a seed. Maybe you're a person to come along and do a little watering. Maybe you're a person to come along and dig some weeds out. Ever have people ask you questions about, now if it says this, what does this mean? Huh? Huh? Sometimes pretty tough questions. Huh? Maybe you're the one that's, the crop sprouts. Maybe it's corn. Maybe you're pulling the corn. Maybe you're the one that reaps the benefits of it. We don't know. We are called by Jesus Christ to do his work. And that's what he's saying. Went a long ways to get to that point, but this is a very good analogy of tired. When you're tired, do you want to talk to anybody? a good time to talk to anybody? If you're being led by the Holy Spirit, no matter how tired you are, will you talk to somebody? We don't realize how fleeting our life is. We don't realize the situation. You may run into somebody somewhere, someplace. You're tired. You're hungry. You're grumpy. Huh? And you see that person and you say one kind word. Maybe that's all it is. Maybe it's just a smile. Maybe it's just it. You got something you need blowed up? I could do it. Huh? You know what I'm saying? Maybe, you know what I'm saying? We don't know. That's the thing. And God orchestrates these situations for you and I to do His will. Sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? If you're in the Word and you're talking to the Lord in prayer and you're allowing the Holy Spirit to do some leading, you will see those things come to fruition. Huh? When you're in a store and you're shopping and you want to leave, and it's almost like somebody says, not yet. I got nothing else to look at. Go look at this. Okay. I don't want that. I want to look at it anyway. Okay. And when you go up to the register, something's going on up there, and you can intercede for someone and talk to somebody, and someone's crying because the situation's going on, and you happen just to be there. Is that coincidence? No. No. God orchestrates your life in such a way that you could be a witness for Him. Isn't that cool? Isn't that cool? Don't be afraid of it. Don't be afraid of it. He'll give you the strength. He'll give you the wisdom. He'll give you the joy, the peace, and the understanding to know when it's right. I don't know if you got anything out or not. I was pretty impressed with that this week. I was looking at that. I thought, this is really cool stuff. And then you get up here and preach and you think, I don't know. Huh? Don't forget, God has a job for you to do. Don't know what it is. Maybe you do. God has a job for you. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, we humbly come before Your presence this morning. Father, we need to understand and realize the person of the Holy Spirit that indwells us. We get our strength from Him. We get our strength from You. We get our wisdom, our understanding, our knowledge. We get it from You, Father. We just praise You for all that You do in our life. Father, all that You're doing in our life. And I just ask a special blessing upon this congregation, Father, that they would just enjoy talking about You. Because that joy that's inside them is bubbling up like a spring well of water, leaping and just enjoying and just loving You. They can share that love with others and they can realize that You are God. Father, we just praise You. We thank You. We love You, Father. We just can't say it enough. Father, we love You. We praise You. In Your precious name we pray. Amen. Matt, come forward. We're going to be down here front. To be the Matt and Matt down front this morning. We're going to open this up to a time of prayer. Praise teams, come forward. They got a song to sing for us. Ladies have a sing song for us. We're going to sing that. But when that song's being sung, if there's anything you need prayer for, could be health. Could be mental. I need a lot of mental help prayers. Is there anything you need prayer for? Over here.